coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022. I've got a great show lined up for you. The second segment, Stan Dale will be joining me to talk about a number of issues. I kind of want to follow up from yesterday's show. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Pandora Papers, about the inner holdings of the oligarchs in Ukraine. I want to talk about where we stand with really World War III and how in the end all of this connects to this Great Reset. The Great Reset, of course, being this monetary economic system that will be ushered in, and how we are all being played for idiots. And I mean that. What we're seeing play out today, domestically and internationally. Domestically here, I'm going to say North America. Let's include the entirety of North America. What we're seeing playing out here is the takedown of the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency. We're seeing this insane energy dependence on other countries. To push for what? To push for this electronic vehicle, zero carbon footprint, social credit score based on your carbon usage. But we're also seeing this push for digitization of our, our finances. And so all of this, we're going to get into detail about this immediately here.
But Are you dying?
Do I sound like it?
You sound like you're dying.
Yeah, I want to apologize for my voice. I had some additional minor surgery. It takes some things out of my jaw yesterday that it's affecting my voice. You know, it's just, a little sad note too. my granddaughter, Maya, is declining, and she's in ICU at Children's Hospital, and we were up pretty much all night. just keep her in her prayers. There's no way I can update everyone all of the time. Just understand the situation is extremely critical. I'm not going to get into details on that, except to say that we're very concerned. You know, we don't want to lose this precious little girl that that you've been praying for. it's really a sad situation. You know, to think that Saturday morning she was asking for pizza and popcorn, and to think now that she's clinging to life is just hard to handle. So again, I humbly ask for your forgiveness. And yeah, I guess my voice between earlier today, I can't even get my days straight. Kind of sound like Steve Quayle now. Steve, I love you, brother. Who's going to be on this week on Friday? At any rate, and I ask for your patience as well for additional shows this week, depending on how things go. All right. So all that said, nonetheless, information download for you today. Please pay attention to this because I think this is so important. Yesterday, you'll recall yesterday, if you watched yesterday's show, the most important, I believe, takeaway from yesterday was that Lara Logan 10-minute clip. Again, it should be played on a loop all the time because that was a truth download. And I noticed in the comments section of yesterday's show on Rumble where she appeared on another video platform. I will stick that link in today's program notes, okay? I'm telling you what, she really has the handle on Ukraine, Russia, United States, NATO, the entire landscape of things. But I found it interesting. In the middle of the night, again, starting to sound like Steve now, I looked at happened to look at social media, which I really don't like to do, and I think social media is probably the scourge on the public. But I was looking at the social media, and there was this big prompting saying that any talk of the New World Order is conspiracy theory. Any talk. Eric the Tech, did you happen to see that? You don't look at social media, but did you happen to see any of that?
No, I did not.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what prompted that. It's all fake. I'll tell you what prompted that. It's this clip of Joe Biden talking about what? The non-existent New World Order. Now, you probably already saw this, but there are those out there who have not seen this. And I ask that you please watch or listen to what Joe Biden is about to say and what he says. Because he says the quiet part out loud. Go ahead and run clip one if you don't mind.
You know, we are at an inflection point, I believe, in the world economy. Not just the world economy, in the world. It occurs every three or four generations. As one of the top military people said to me in a secure meeting the other day, 60 million people died between 1900 and 1946. And since then, we established a liberal world order, and that hadn't happened in a long while. A lot of people died, but nowhere near the chaos. And now is a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there, and we've got to lead it. We've got to unite the rest of the free world in doing it. So anyway, you know, we are at an inflection point.
Okay. That's what prompted this outcry from all the fact checkers that say, no, 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 no. It's just a turn of phrase, basically. It's just simply a turn of phrase. It's meaningless. It has no, there's no there. According to the fact checkers now, right? All right. Do you believe that? And I'm asking the listeners and viewers. I know you can't respond to me, but do you believe that? I don't think most people do, at least not most people who are honest, intellectually honest, or paying attention. So what's this all about? We know that soon, the Fed is going to have to up the rates, the interest rates, right? We know that our economy is teetering on collapse, the Western economy. The European Union is pretty much done. That's a done deal. There will be a collapse of the European Union, and that's pretty much gone. That's going to be happening. I would say you're going to start to see really riots and things happen within the European Union, probably before the onset of the dog days of summer this year. I would be surprised if it didn't happen. And then you're going to see this blowback here into the United States, because don't forget the U.S. Fed is really the central bank of the world. And you really have to understand that concept in order to really understand how dire things are. And the debt that we are in, this country is in, there's no way to service that debt. So they have to collapse the system. And it's interesting. Yesterday, I spoke about the Pandora Papers. And the people involved in this new world order, non-existent, of course, according to the fact checkers, the people involved in that have their money protected and will not be a part of this digital currency that will have to replace what's about to happen. Yet you and I, if we are not prepared for what's coming, will be subjugated to this digital currency where the paper money will be worthless. Oh, you may be able to turn it in for every $10 you have, maybe a dollar. I don't know. I don't know of the new currency. But you'll be subjugated to this disciplinary oversight, digital, what would you call it? Just this surveillance system. That's why when people like Klaus Schwab or Klaus Schwab specifically says, you'll own nothing, you'll be happy, they can make that happen. Now, let me toss something out to you right now. With oil over $100 a barrel and wheat above $11 a bushel, what is that doing to the average person, you and me? If you're listening to this, what's that doing to us? Well, it's causing us more expense to drive anywhere. And of course, at the grocery store, things like bread cost much more, the wheat. But the transportation of the items to the store, of course, costing more, the overhead costing more. So everything is costing more. They don't want you driving your car that has the gasoline power car. They don't want you driving that. They don't want you living in the suburbs. They want you in the city. And in fact, they're trying to push people, believe it or not, back into the cities in order to control your movements. Again, the surveillance state. So all of this is connected. And what prepared us for this? Now, some might say on the left, some might say, well, this caused what we're seeing today, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. It caused what we're seeing today. No, the lockdowns were the, if we're phase one of a multi-phase plan to bring us into this submission. Because during the lockdown phases, and lockdown, by the way, you only hear that in prisons, well, until 2020, but I digress. So people were not driving as much. And the left says, oh, well, see, that's why gas prices are so high now, because people weren't driving. And you get the mental gymnastics, right? I'm not going to explain that. So all of this combined, if you, again, you've got to think on a larger scale. All of this combined, we are seeing this grand push for this Build Back Better. That's right, I said Build Back Better, this great reset on a global scale. That's why that phrase, New World Order, the part that the quiet part Biden said out loud, that's why it came under such fire in the social media. It was unbelievable. Now, if you listen to Steve Bannon, if you listen to InfoWars, if you listen to in the various programs there, if you listen to Dan Bongino, depending on who you listen to on the left, Tucker Carlson, for example, what's the major story that everyone is talking about? It's Ukraine. People have this, and folks, you've seen this. I'm sure you've dealt with this in your own personal experience where people seem to think this just happened out of nowhere. Folks, this has always been about Ukraine. When I say that, I'm talking about Hunter Biden laptop. I'm talking about going back into the Obama years, even the post-World War II years, if you want to go back that far. But this has always been about Ukraine. And it's always been about Ukraine as the playground for the globalists. Now, here's what I want to do now to really lay this out. Since Ukraine is front and center in everybody's, at everyone's table, along with the economy. But by the way, this is all connected. I want to go to a source clip and sing along, so to speak, with Alex Newman of The New American. Well, I'm going to play portions of his expose, Alex Newman, and then comment on a couple of things as we go through this for the remainder of this segment, because I think this is so spot on. Now, some of this we've covered. Some of this is well known to everyone, but to those just joining, you've got to hear it. You got to hear it again. You're going to see in this clip, and I'll stop it before or pause it before, you're going to see Biden saying, you know, we got to fire the prosecutor. How does, for example, people have asked this. In fact, today, earlier today, when I had my medical appointment, the doctor I was speaking with, or actually mumbling to, had really no idea this even existed. Now he does. So we have to educate others. But that clip about Biden talking to the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, and firing the prosecutor about while he was looking into Burisma, his son's, Joe Biden's son's company. This all ties together. And again, the commonality that was really shown the expose that really is responsible, I think, for showing a lot about Ukraine, in addition to the Biden laptop, are the Pandora Papers. But let's go to the clip, if you don't mind, source clip A, Eric the Tech. Is that okay? All right, let's play this. Now, I'm going to, again, watch this. I'll ask Eric to pause it in certain points. So this is going to be kind of a long dissertation with my comments peppered in between, even if you don't want that. Alex Newman, here he is.
Before you line up behind the Ukrainian government and Mr. Zelensky, you ought to know about the deep state's role in Ukraine. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Behind the Deep State. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Last few weeks, we've been focusing on the Ukraine-Russia crisis. Last week, we made a lot of people mad by exposing Russian strongman Putin as a gangster, as a close ally of the deep state, who is following to a T globalist New World Order freak Henry Kissinger's strategy for a world order, that is dividing the world up into regional orders and then merging them all into a one world order. And we also talked the week before that about how the deep state has been planning a convergence between the Eastern world and the Western world. And the week before that, we warned that Putin and company were very likely to start a war because war is such a useful tool for the deep state in terms of advancing their globalist agenda.
And, okay, can you pause that just for a second, please? All right. And just keep that on. I just want to say this. People are saying, well, can this possibly get into a world war? What advantages would a world war have in this case? Yes, this is what they want. They want complete destruction. Why to blame this? To blame the economic woes onto a global conflict, in addition to everything else, and to take your eyes, of course, off of what is happening with the reactions to the mutagenic jabs. Go ahead and continue.
As promised, we are going to focus in on Ukraine. Now, I want to start off by saying that Zelensky, first of all, is not a freedom fighter. He's not a patriot. He's not a libertarian or liberty-minded fighter for his country's sovereignty. In fact, he is a pro-abortion, anti-gun fanatic. He's a globalist. And now he's suddenly supposed to be our new hero because he's a hero of the same people who just spent 2 years lying to us about COVID and crushing individual freedom all around the world. Sorry, but I'm not convinced. The same people that just lied to me for 2 years are not going to tell me who is a hero and who I should be lining up behind. And there's more, right? Anybody who thinks the deep state cares about Ukraine and Ukrainian lives is kidding themselves, right? I'll take that seriously when the New York Slimes comes out and apologizes for Walter Duranty, their fake news reporter and communist propagandist, who relentlessly parroted Joseph Stalin's propaganda about Ukraine as he was slaughtering them. He murdered about 10 million Ukrainians. He starved them to death with the deliberate assistance of the New York Times. And of course, the New York Times won a Pulitzer Prize for it. So when the New York Times apologizes, when they give back the Pulitzer Prize, when Walter Duranty is officially condemned as a lying, disgusting propagandist who helped slaughter 10 million Ukrainians, maybe I'll take seriously the media's alleged concern about Ukrainian lives. Folks, that was a genocide, and we should be talking about it. Also, these same people in Congress and around all over the world who suddenly have discovered that they're so passionate about the integrity of borders and national sovereignty. These are the same people who spent the last year keeping our southern border wide open, allowing anybody to cross it, who've been dismantling American sovereignty for generations. Sorry, folks, but these people don't care about borders. They don't care about sovereignty. So that is not the real agenda. I was in Ukraine just a couple years ago, and it's a beautiful place. It's an interesting place. The poverty is unimaginable. I've been to many of the toughest slums in the world, in Africa and Latin America, and I'll tell you, going to Ukraine was eye-opening. I mean, you go to some of these villages, and it's like you're going back in time hundreds of years. I mean, they don't have cars. They ride around on donkeys with little carts, and they're farming with like hand implements. You're like, was this real? And it is. It is real. They spent generations under the crushing boot of totalitarian communism. And unfortunately, the vestiges of that have never really been removed. Now, some good things have happened, right? And we'll talk about those. Even during the Western-backed coup that took place there, some good things happened. Statues of Lenin came down, and who could be against bringing down statues of Lenin? But I want to make clear that the current Ukrainian regime is basically a puppet of the same dishonest and corrupt U.S. government that is right now waging war against our own country, the same government that is locking up our energy supplies so that we have to buy oil from the Russians, the Venezuelans, take your pick. And of course, the current Ukrainian government is a puppet of various connected deep state billionaire so-called oligarchs.
Okay, if you can pause that right there. All right. Now, you got the history. I believe you got the history of Ukraine with respect to the poverty, which is an important aspect. People think, I don't know what people think about Ukraine, but it is... It suffered under communism to an extreme extent. Now, of course, it is the oligarch's playground. So I think that was an important introduction to Ukraine. Now, listen for the next 2 minutes or so as Alex Newman gets into some of the personalities and people that you better get to know. Know the names. Remember the names. Here he goes.
From the Ukrainian communist period. Folks, we're being deceived on a massive, massive level. And if you don't believe me that the current Ukrainian government is just a puppet of the disgusting deep state toadies running our government, let me show you some evidence. I want to show you this video of Joe Biden bragging while he was vice president about how he was able to get Ukraine's top prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, fired. He's bragging at the Council on Foreign Relations. These things are normally not for public consumption. He's bragging to his fellow deep state globalists.
And you guys know this.
Check this out.
You've seen this. Ukraine. And I remember going over convincing our team, our others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Now, remember, Joe Biden is a fervent advocate of the New World Order. He actually wrote a piece in 1992 for the Wall Street Journal about how he learned to love the new world order. So, folks, if Joe Biden is calling
one
the
more,
shots.
One more time. Gee, 1992, how to love the new world order. Don't forget September 11th, 1991, George H.W. Bush talking about the new world order as well, in addition to the 1,000 points of light, which that's a different topic related to this. So the new world order, as fact checkers today say, that's just a phrase, that's just a term. No, it's a thing, and it's a real thing. So you saw that clip in context. There's going to be a little bit more I want to continue with Mr. Newman. And by the way, the link to this episode, which you should watch the entire thing, will be at HagmanReport.com in the episode description box. So go ahead and continue with this, and go ahead and continue.
In the Ukrainian government, as he was back then. Do you really think that this government is friendly to liberty? Do you think this government is friendly to Christianity, to Western values? Of course not, right? And I want to make clear here, too, I don't know if you paid close attention to that clip, but Joe Biden clearly implicated Barack Hussein Obama in this criminal conspiracy. He said, you want to talk to President? Well, call him, right? So Barack Obama was clearly involved in this conspiracy, too. This wasn't just Joe Biden. And, of course, Joe Biden admitted earlier on in that same a little talk at the Council on Foreign Relations that he was working for Richard. Richard, of course, is the president of the Council on Foreign Relations.
I probably should introduce myself to people, everybody. My name is Richard Haass, by the way. I work here at the Council on Foreign Relations.
And I work for Richard.
Now, Trump knew about all this. I want to show you a little clip. And Trump is talking about this while he's sitting right next to Zelensky. Check this out.
And watching Zelensky's face.
Corruption's massive. Now, when Biden's son walks away with millions of dollars from Ukraine and he knows nothing.
Everybody in Washington, in D.C. knows that Ukraine is the Ukrainian government is a cesspool of corruption. It is a cesspool of former communists. It is a cesspool of deep state toadies. And nobody should believe for a second that this Ukrainian government is this great heroic defender of freedom and Western values. It's simply not true. Now, Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, yes, that crackhead Hunter Biden, who was very involved in selling out America to the communist Chinese, so we know all that. He also was very active in Ukraine. He was actually making lots of money from a company called Burisma Holdings, a Ukrainian gas company owned by an oligarch that we'll talk about in a minute. But this is really critical, folks. The prosecutor,
pause that right there.
That Joe Biden.
Okay. The reason that I am so on fire about this is because on Hunter Biden's laptop that was abandoned in a frenzy of, drug abuse, drug-addled activity at the Delaware repair shop, are the emails that prove Joe Biden's connection to this criminal activity that Alex Newman references and that I've been talking about. And as referenced kind of sideways in the Pandora Papers. All right, so that's that part of things. Go ahead and continue for like one more minute, and then we're going to switch gears a little bit. And folks, you can watch this. The link will be at HagmanReport.com. This is Alex Newman, New American. Okay, and you go to HagmanReport.com, click on today's episode link. You'll find the open the description box, and you'll find the link to this in that box. This is a critical, critical education on Ukraine, the people involved, and why it's so important today, and why this will be the linchpin for a third world war that will bring down, or be they're going to say it brought down the world economy. And the impetus for the Great Reset. Go ahead and let him talk for another minute and a half or so.
Was bragging about getting fired, was actually investigating this crooked company, Burisma, that was enriching the Biden crime family. Yes, you heard me correct. In fact, after the prosecutor was fired, the prosecutor filed a federal complaint here with authorities in the United States asking that these people be held accountable and that they be charged with a crime. But of course, Hunter Biden was really just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the corruption involving America's deep state elite families. Former Secretary of State John Kerry's stepson, Chris Hines, was actually a business partner of Hunter Biden, the crackhead. Now, business partner in the world of the elite doesn't mean what we think it does, right? It's not that these people are out there producing goods and services that are useful in the marketplace at prices better than their competitors. These people are crooked, corrupt, influence peddling deep state toadies. So they enrich themselves, they sell out their country, and they help build up the new world order.
Okay, so that's what's going on here. Pause it right there. All right. So Biden's son, Joe Biden, 10% for the big guy, right? That's on Hunter Biden's laptop. It's been verified by the New York Times. Of course, everything's been fact-checked and said, oh, no, this is, except the laptop has been acknowledged by the New York Times as being, it's authentic. It belongs to Hunter Biden. And he was referencing Biden and Kerry's son and Romney's son and Paul Pelosi's son, all having their hands in Ukraine. And of course, the Ukrainian, Ukraine is really the playground for the oligarchs. But again, it all comes down to Ukraine. This is all the laptop. The Russian disinformation about President Trump had the overlap with Ukraine. Unbelievable, because many of the Russian oligarchs were operating out of Ukraine and with Ukrainian oligarchs. All right. So this has been in the works for decades, but especially since, I'm going to say around 2008, 2009, and specifically with the color revolution or the coup back in 2013, 2014 and forward. This is why it's so extremely important for us to keep our eyes on Ukraine. Who is talking the real deal about Ukraine and who's just following the lemmings off the cliff, and why, of course, it's important for our future. All right. Coming right up now is Stan Dale, standale.com. Before I get to Stan, I want to just ask you something, okay? Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you that tonight's episode is sponsored by Honey. I'm telling you, join honey.com/Hagman if you haven't done so already. This is going to make your online shopping life so much easier. How do you feel about online shopping? How often do you do it? How often do you feel like you have to have a promo code? You got to do your homework and have a promo code at the ready to save a few dollars, right? When you buy something online. Well, no more. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for those elusive coupon codes or promo codes is a thing of the past. Here's how it works. So you're sitting there on your couch, you're shopping online, maybe at one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. It's that easy. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. And if Honey finds a working coupon, and they will, if one exists, believe me, I've seen this happen, you'll watch the price drop. We just made a purchase. We had to for the studio. And let's see, I don't have it here. It's a piece of equipment. I was going to show you the piece. But anyway, the bottom line is that saved us about $4 on a $21 piece of equipment. Yes, it did. Honey, that's just one example. But they also save money on food delivery and so much more. Clothes, tech gadgets, hey, even pizza, like I mentioned. So, did you know that Honey even offers cash back at thousands of stores? It's like earning cash rewards just for shopping. Now, if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this broadcast. And you know, folks, I'd never recommend something I don't use myself. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. And as I like to say, you'll thank me later. You'll be glad you did. And there it is. All right. If it's Tuesdays, it's Tuesdays with Stan, Standale, standale.com. The hardest working couple on the planet is Stan and Holly Dale, updating their website. Headlines that you need to focus in on. If you haven't bookmarked their website, you've got to do that. That's Stan Deo, D-E-Y-O.com. You know Stan. Stan's been around for a long time. He's an intellectual, certainly my intellectual superior. And I want to make this announcement because many people will tune in just for this segment for Stan. I just want to say thank you, folks, for your prayers for my granddaughter, Maya. She is currently right now in an intensive care ICU at Children's Hospital. She's in a medically induced coma. She's intubated. She's having some really, really, really bad times. Three and a half years old. And I'm telling you what, thank you for your prayers. Please keep praying. And thank you for your patience with this show. If I happen to be away for a day or two, it'll be because of something related to that. But again, thank you again for your prayers. And they're appreciated. Stan Dale from standale.com. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you. I'm sorry to hear.
Yeah.
Little ones in the hospital. A lot of prayers will be up for her, I'm sure.
Thank you, Stan.
The little ones, you know, we hate to see them ill and die before their time. Amazing.
Yeah. You do what you can. You keep them away from mutagenic jabs. You try to keep them close to you. You try to keep them safe. And I don't know, brother. I don't know, some mysterious a bacteria. She would got infected by a bacteria, and she's I don't even know what to say, except hug your kids, hug your grandkids. Keep them close.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, the news flashes we get from Ukraine with mothers carrying in their arms the babies and running for their lives. It's a terrible thing. You can't get it out of your brain when you see something like that, too. All over the planet.
You know, it was like 3:30 this morning. My wife and I were talking about just that very thing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what the parents are going through over there? I mean, these warmongers, they want war. And the people who seem to want war, their kids aren't fighting, their grandkids aren't fighting, they're not the ones getting bombed. I don't know. It's just, brother, I don't know anymore.
Well, it is getting close. Whether or not this is the beginning of World War III or not, you know, this Ukraine situation, it certainly is the beginning of stirring up the world and make the people unify and wanting to have peace and safety, as the Bible says. They'll be asking for that when sudden destruction comes upon them. In our show images page, I have a link there at slide 49. It's DEFCON 2, which is what the alert level is in Europe because of this Ukrainian thing. And that does seem to indicate that we are going to have the use of nuclear weapons here fairly shortly. There's only one higher level, and that's when the nukes start to fly. The the envoy, said the foreign ministry said Monday that it had summoned the U.S. ambassador to warn President Joe Biden. His recent remarks have put Russian-American relations on the verge of rupture. Well, you know, so he calls Putin a war criminal or whatever, you know, and things like that. And you think, well, Putin is supposed to be this, you know, guy that rides bare-chested on his horse. He's this Russian cowboy or whatever, supposed to be tough guy. Okay, so slings and arrows, you know, they can do damage, words, nothing. and he gets all upset because he gets called names. That's just, it's such petty stuff going on. Nothing to do with the real issue. It does amaze me. There is a move afoot, as you probably read over the last week, to by several of his oligarchs to depose him and replace him with a former FSB director. And whether that's going to happen or not, I don't know. But even if that happens, I don't think that in the long run that this will stop Russia from trying to help Iran and Syria to attack Israel for various reasons.
What are you seeing? What kind of alliance are you seeing between Russia, Iran, China, and especially in the economic side of things? I find this very convenient for a third world war at the time when world economics, they're about to crash, especially here in the West. But would you use any comments or thoughts on the alliances that are forming in the wake of the current Ukrainian crisis?
Yeah, China appears to sort of be helping Russia, and they've had a joint agreement for a couple of years now against the United States, and as far as trade and various other things. But as we know, China follows Sun Tzu's Art of War. And in that book that Sun Tzu wrote, he says, if you have enemies, you know, enemy states out there, nations, and you have two or more, you pit them against each other, pit the United States, you know, against Russia. Not against China, against Russia, and Russia against America. And let those two fight it out until they're just bedraggled and they've depleted all the resources. And then Sun Tzu says, then you go in and mop up the place and take it all over. And I think that China is doing minimal assistance to Russia to keep Russia on a leash at the moment. China has its own problems. I mean, like food shortages, water problems, problems, which I can discuss later, about the Three Gorges Dam and 79 other dams that are close to failing. So it's got its own internal problems. It's trying the best it can to solve part of the problems by going to Saudi Arabia, to MBS, and to make a deal with him to right the oil sales in the Chinese yuan dollars to the U.S. dollar. And, that cuts us out of money-making, really, in the UAE and in the Saudi group of oil producers. But the problem is that if the United States is taken out of the equation, the only oil that's going to be viable for a while will be the Middle East and Russia. Russia's oil is close to China, but it's heavy in paraffin. It's not a cheap oil to refine. And I fear that what they're doing will cause a collapse of the U.S. economy, U.S. dollar. Our dependence of the oil overseas is now just incredible, thanks to Biden and those people who have stolen the White House. I don't think we're going to have time to remove them from the White House through the normal processes. It's going to take something extraordinary to avoid what they've set in motion. Gee, they're bad. They're just so bad.
You know.
Anyway.
Yeah, and I open up the first segment talking about the Biden crime family laptop, the Biden laptop, Hunter Biden laptop. And how everything is kind of Ukraine-centric, especially in the laptop. China, yes. Russia, yes. Other countries, yes. But Ukraine especially. And how all of this is kind of, this didn't happen, where we're at today didn't happen on a whim by Putin, you know, lining his tanks up. No, this happened, it seemed planned out for quite some time. And how... Well, you know, now one thing you mentioned, I'm thinking of it, people don't really get the fact about lift costs of oil and the refining costs of different types of oil, where we have cheap oil over in Saudi Arabia, for example, versus where the lift costs are not as expensive, not as much, is elsewhere, and the cost of refining. And the fact that we don't have any refineries operational here, thanks to the environmentalists, the EPA, and even the Bidens and company, Obamas, and so on. So all of this combined, yes. I mean, this right now is a powder keg. I didn't mean to overtake or go off topic there, but a couple of things you mentioned there just made me think of those things.
Well, you know, I look at this thing in Russia. The more and more information comes to light through various sources that we have, you see that Putin has put his inexperienced troops, his young, untrained, really, troops in a training mission, he tells them, in Ukraine, and he just lets them be slaughtered over there. There have been more soldiers, you know, Russian soldiers killed than Ukrainians, for sure. Why is he doing this, and why is he, okay, he used one of his hypersonic missiles and whatever, but this, I am sure, is a diversion. He probably gained something from this, but he's doing something else. His elite troops aren't in this battle. They're somewhere else. I don't know where he's hiding them, but he's up to something. It might be in Georgia that he's put them. I don't know exactly where, but this stinks. This whole deal is a chess move, and, you know, to take our attention off of what he's really doing, what China's really doing. Of course, Taiwan is an issue there, but the Russian troops aren't going to be there. Is this the time when Russia and China and Iran attack the United States? I don't think Iran's ready to participate yet, but they're very close to having their nuclear missiles and bombs, you know, ready to assist Russia and China when they come on land to the United States. I think that's a couple of years off, but
That's compliments again, of the Biden regime, right? With the
All right. Yeah, how can Biden get Russia to negotiate the deal with the uranium limitations and the nuclear limitations on Iran? Russia is our enemy. How do we have our enemy negotiating the oil deal with Iran and giving away our money at the same time? I mean, it is madness. If you think that this administration is doing anything at all to help the American people and to defend the country, you're mistaken. They're doing everything they can to destroy America, making every bad deal they can, as though they were the enemy sitting in the White House, and I think they are, making these decisions and passing these executive orders, et cetera, that are just set to destroy us.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I've got several issues. One of them I want to talk about, slide 53 today, was about Israel's final prince of the Torah dies. Now, that's an interesting term, prince of the Torah. Last signpost before Messiah, according to the Talmud. All right, that he's the last prince before the Messiah comes. In February 2020, shortly before the Israeli legislative elections, in which, you know, Netanyahu got clobbered, it was reported that Rabbi Kanevsky had stated that the coming of the Messiah was imminent and that he was holding meetings with him in 2020. Now, you know, we know that that's going to be the Antichrist. You know, they're going to pick the wrong guy to support. And they won't pick Jesus at the first of all this. But they called him the Prince of the Torah. Well, he's a scholar of the Torah. And there have been other scholars, and really accomplished, you know, and revered scholars of the Torah, they are then called a prince of the Torah, by the Hasidics. Now, it's interesting, in Daniel, he does say that the prince of the covenant, you know, the guy who signs the covenant, is a prince. Now, is it going to be a Torah scholar? Is it going to be their Messiah that they think is the Messiah? And they call him a prince of the Torah because he's so learned in the Torah. So just another thing, you know, to throw out there in your brain bucket when you're considering, candidates for the Antichrist. Anyway, it's a very complex picture, but it's starting to form here. Look shortly then for somebody to be recognized by Israel, to be deceived by Israel, for that matter.
Well, I mean, you wrote about, I think you wrote about what's happening today in your book, Cosmic Conspiracy, And folks, if you don't have a copy of that book, Cosmic Conspiracy, highly recommend it. Stan, your final edition was what? Well over a decade ago, right?
Yeah, 2010, yeah.
All right, so.
The first edition was 1978, and I didn't change the first 200 pages ever. It's still there.
Yeah, and I think that really gives a good overview of where we're headed and where in the timeline we're at right now, and that's Cosmic Conspiracy. Go to standeo.com and grab yourself a copy, along with Dare to Prepare, because you know what? We need to prepare, if not for us, for others. So go ahead, Stan. Hi, Holly. Hey, it's me calling.
Is it? How do I turn this off here? Sorry, I forgot to turn off my cell phone. I hardly ever use it.
No worries.
There it is.
All right.
Well, sorry about that. Biden has been warning people, you know, about a cyber attack in the United States. It's covered in slide 50. But if you read the article that's under that, he's warned about a cyber attack from Russia, because of the economic sanctions we put on Russia. So he's going to hurt us. But you'll read in the article, see that they think the cyber attacks are not going to be aimed at the small people, you know, people that aren't corporations or things, home computers, that kind of stuff. It's going to be against companies. Probably companies that will really be hurt financially by, you know, denial of service or whatever things they use to have a cyber attack on. So the game goes on. And every time you read something like this, it's another thing that the U.S. has taken a hit on. It's not where we're winning. And let me talk on some other things here that are close to home. Just if the Russians and all this nonsense with China weren't enough, we've got a drought that is probably going to go another 10 years. It's a severe drought, and the breadbasket of America, you know, from the west of the New Madrid or Mississippi area, from that area all the way to the coast, the west coast, is in severe drought, and it's going to stay at probably another 10 years. That slide 54 talks about how these things occur. And they take up to about 30 years to run a cycle. They're periodic. They're not every, you know, century or anything like that. But this is a mega drought. And it's going to, additionally, in addition to the normal pressures for inflationary prices and whatever, it's going to make a lot of grain foods and things that are dependent upon grain, you know, like cereals and things like that as well, be very expensive. The inflationary pressure is going to be huge on food. And it's not too late for you to prepare, but people should think about that. And, Holly's got it in the Dare to Prepare book about what you need and how much you need for a family and things like that. And you can even download an Excel spreadsheet we put on daretoprepare.com, which tells you what you need. If you got a family of three or four or whatever, you can put in the number in the spreadsheet, and it tells you how much of, you know, milk or this or that that you need to get and lay it away. I don't know if you can get, you know, freeze-dried foods in abundance right now. I know there's still some companies that are able to supply, but the government's been buying up a lot of it, which is putting pressure on these producers to even allow you to buy their food as an individual, because the big contracts are going to government agencies. So if you haven't, and you can, get some emergency food and get Holly's book, of course, to see how to use it, and download that free Excel spreadsheet.
And yeah, we don't often talk about daretoprepare.com. Folks, make sure you bookmark that site as well. Take advantage of the wealth of information there, as well as Holly's book, Dare to Prepare itself. So yeah, now this drought outlook, that's a pretty ominous looking map there. All right, so, but we've seen this before, right? I mean, this is cyclical. Is that true?
It's not, you know, like every 30 years, then it's off for somebody. It's periodic, maybe, you know, within a century or two that you'll have a long run like this. But this is a mighty drought. I mean, okay. Coming at the time when we have these inflationary pressures and everything else that the government's doing to kill our country, it's going to make food and, you know, very expensive and very short in supply in certain products, We're actually starting to see that here in our local Walmart. We've been very blessed to have no problems, no empty shelves to mount anything, but we're now starting to see that here. Holly was just telling me that the other day when she was in there. So it's spreading everywhere and at a time when we don't need a drought.
Right.
And in better times when we had better control of the economy and stuff like that, yeah, fine.
Yeah. This is kind of like the perfect storm hitting us all at one time. Some manufactured this, of course, not so much. Or is this a manufactured? What's causing this drought? Is it
just droughts? I think. No, I think a lot of it's going to be to normal conditions from the sun and things like that.
All right.
Periodic. And again, we can talk about that down later about the sun. It's certainly the driver behind our climate.
Okay.
You can look back through history and look at ice ages and how long it took to form them, how long it took to come out of it, and what the temperature changes were. And you can see it's not due to industrial pollution or anything else, because we didn't have industry in those days, 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago even. So this is a thing driven by the sun primarily. It's being jumped upon by the people who would lead us to believe that we're into a global freeze. Slide 48. On this date, 51 years ago, climate scientists predicted a new ice age was coming. Scientists claiming 85% accuracy for the prediction says, Europe will be covered with the glaciers of a new ice age by the year 2000. I think they got it wrong.
But they'll never admit that, of course, or whoever that, if anyone is still around, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can click on the text there and get to the article on it and see that, this madness that they were putting out 51 years ago. And they're still putting it out that it'll grow over and wherever it is. And the Danish girl, I think she is.
Greta Thunberg. Greta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is she? Sweden or Denmark? Where is she from?
I'm not sure, but all I remember is how dare you. Yeah, the little munchkin that is. I'm sorry, but yeah, don't talk to me like that. But anyway, look at that headline, folks. On this day 51 years ago, climate scientists predicted a new ice age was coming by 2000. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Bingo. Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Well, enough on that madness. We know it's madness, and they're just proving it. Another kind of, a ho-hum type article is slide 47. NASA detects an asteroid 2 hours before it hits the Earth. An asteroid around the size of a refrigerator was spotted hours before it hit Earth's atmosphere. And while it wasn't dangerous, it marked the fifth time in history an asteroid was detected right before hitting our planet. That's kind of one of those things that I say often is, here's the NASA watch tower looking for asteroids, and says, oh, here's one. Wow, that was quick. Close. Yeah, they in their defense, if you look at the picture there in slide 47, the asteroids aren't all well lit at all. Some of them are very like charcoal colored, if you wish. They don't reflect the visible sunlight, and unless you're looking at it with an infrared telescope, you're not going to see these things way out there. They just aren't reflecting sunlight. Anyway, so that's one of the reasons. I'll defend NASA, for that. But,
I'm not sure it matters, but with all the satellites we have, don't you think that isn't there a satellite that could detect stuff like this, by movement or by mass? I don't know.
If it's very close, there are other ways to detect its presence. If it's close enough to do a mass deviation, then it's too close. It's okay. Kind of like, oh, wow, that was close.
Yeah.
But, the problem is it's the visible light versus the infrared light, the heat light. Now, the sun heats up all the planets. And when you use these telescopes, they're expensive, the infrared telescopes. So with those, you can only cover a certain section of the sky at any point in time. And, you may cover this section and move on to the next section. And yet one of the rogue asteroids you wanted to see in infrared was in the last section, was just entering it as you left it to go scan something else. We just don't have enough infrared telescope coverage. They have looked at 87% of the sky that we can see. But that, as I say, that changes because you're not looking at areas you've already been at, already scanned, because the asteroid could be in those areas now, or asteroids. They think there's some 5,000 that they haven't detected, and I guess they determine it by mass, you know, and changes in mass in the asteroid belt or something. I don't know, but it's a very difficult and a very kind of unreliable science, you know, to track asteroids that are near Earth asteroids. A lot of variables in that. So, and then speaking of the variables of it, the slide 46 talks about Planet Nine. They're still looking for it. And they've been scanning the heavens like crazy. We all know that there's something out there. Maybe it's in the Kuiper Belt. Maybe it's a dark star, you know, this Phael that was our twin, or, you know, our binary system. But it's depressing the outer orbits, even Neptune. I mean, and Pluto is shoving them down, which tells us when it does that it's affecting other planets in opposite manner, you know, opposite direction. There's a wave in essence, a gravitational wave that's constant, that is suppressing these orbits. So we know it's there. Don't know what it is. We can't see it. And they think in the next few years, with the section of space they're looking at, that they may be able to find this mysterious object. The article on it here, let me just see. The article does say, I think that there are about 3,500 of them that are not confirmed yet. They found 3,500 possible sources of this gravity influence on the outer planets. So they've got to refine that down, you know, these 3,500 by other means. So anyway, Planet Nine, you know, Nibiru, whatever, they're still looking for this thing. And it's like finding a needle in a haystack full of needles, a particular needle. It's very difficult to do.
All right.
Yeah, the sun is causing a lot of our problems, as I discussed. Slide 51, if you click on the picture, it shows you a shot at the polar region, but it also shows you the anomalous heating of the North Pole and the South Pole. In fact, North Pole has got a really hot spot. If you look at the top right-hand part of that picture, and the climate reanalyzer, is very bright red, and that's very hot up there, relatively speaking. And strangely enough, at the South Pole, in the same area, but on the South Pole, it is very hot as well. You'll see it's red with white hot in the middle there. It's definitely being caused by the sun. And the article goes on to say that part of Antarctica is more than 70 degrees warmer than average. That is hot. And the areas of the Arctic, the North Pole, more than 50 degrees warmer than the average. So when you're looking at that picture there, down at the south part of there of the heat map, where it has like a white thing with a red ring around it, that is really hot. The red area up in the North Pole there, okay, that's 50 degrees Fahrenheit above normal, but that 70 degrees above normal, that's that white hot ring with a red border down there. That is definitely showing our connection to the sun, which is not behaving well. It's doing things that are, you know, producing CMEs and flares that are, I think, the number of them, the frequency of them, is ahead of the curve, certainly of what NASA predicted. But it is from the sun. Look at slide 42. Click on the picture of slide 42, Eric, and that shows you a flare, a coronal mass ejection, and a flare that occurred ahead of our orbit, but not enough to bother us. Earlier today, I think in our time, it would have been something like about universal time, 6:24. Yeah, it would have probably been around our midnight, I think. But anyway, you can see how big that solar flare is. And we may get a glancing blow from it, but we're not getting a direct hit from it. Imagine what happens when you get direct hits from these things. And the right side of the picture, in the green, that's the standard heliograph, which shows us most of the backside of the sun. And right down the middle of it is where Earth is, you know, at the zero longitude. And you'll see that in the next 7 days, the farthest spot on the left, the white spot, will be Earth directed. But in 3 or 4 days, we're going to have some of these other spots that are known to produce coronal mass ejection and flares aimed right at Earth. Right in the middle of that graph, up toward northern latitude about 30, and at longitude about 30, is the area that we've got to be somewhat concerned with for the next day. But then 3 to 4 days later, all that stuff on the left is going to come facing us. The sun is, its surface is behaving badly. And again, I stress sunspot numbers are just numbers of areas where there are magnetic field disturbances, you know, and they cause a dark spot. But that doesn't tell you the area, the surface area of these things. You can have one sunspot that's half the size of the sun, and that's pretty significant. You know, you get coronal winds out of that, they're huge. But if you have, 30 sunspots and they're all little tiny things, and people say, oh, that's 30 sunspots, you know, it's up from such and such. Well, okay, spots is different than surface area. I just want to make that distinction. That's why this solar cycle is becoming very interesting to everybody that studies solar cycles. It could be a real pain. Mm. Yeah. Wow. You've got him up there. Yeah.
Biblical, yes. In nature, I suppose. One can argue that signs in the heavens, and this would be one, right?
Yeah, definitely. The here's another article here. Artificial intelligence, slide 44. An artificial intelligence model was able to create 40,000 chemical weapon compounds in just 6 hours. After being given the task by researchers, it produced 40,000 chemical weapons. But these are like sarin and those kind of things, which, one drop of it, you know, can cause you to convulse and die. And so they've got artificial intelligence now designing these compounds that we haven't discovered yet until this AI figured them out to kill people with. But it also involves curing diseases, these kind of compounds, and you target the disease rather than the people. But it's frightening to think that AI, artificial intelligence, is now being tasked with an app, or several apps probably, to develop genetic weapons, in essence, but they're chemical, but they're aimed at certain gene species. They could aim it at Chinese or Americans or Russians or whatever. And it's part of this whole thing of coronaviruses and that kind of stuff, all part of this intrigue with the molecular chemistry, whether it be a living thing or just a pure chemical compound. But this AI is rapidly finding out all these things that they can make to kill people with, as a side effect.
Yesterday Steve Bannon had on the War Room a gentleman by the name of Joe Allen, and Joe Allen has got a website called JoeBot.xyz. Okay. He was talking about this very issue, and he was talking about the drones and the fact, and this is what blew my mind, Stan, the fact that what you just mentioned is essentially open source information for the composition of the chemical weaponry that could be used by these artificially intelligent drones, okay, which blows my mind, number one. And number two, the fact that they also have these, especially the Russian drones, but this goes across the board, they've got facial recognition, but they also have, and pardon the pun, but a mind of their own. So they when I heard this, I mean, I had listened to this segment like twice. I'm thinking, wait a minute. So you're telling me that they could, what you're saying, Stan, is they could create an array of chemical composition, compounds, whatever, and use those as weapons, right? Wherever, on their own too, I guess.
That's the frightening part about it. Yeah, that artificial intelligence can be turned loose to go do its research and to come up with these compounds and various other things. The world is in such a chaotic state. There are so many factors to consider when you're trying to keep the world intact and minimize, damage to the human culture and the resources we need. A single person cannot be ruler of a country and say, okay, well, today I'm going to, you know, limit the amount of shoes that we make. I'm going to buy steel from this or that. You can't just, one person can't just sit down and see what that will do to the global economy, or regional economy, and how it will affect, you know, the cultures. So you generate, and they've done this, smart computers, AI computers, which are fed all sorts of data, you know, constantly about the economy, about buying habits, about the sun, you know, about depletion of certain resources or the level of pollution or garbage floating in the Pacific or whatever. All this data is being put in. There is at least 98 different factors that are needed to make a basic model of the planet. Then that program has to be fed, you know, decision modules that say, if A happens, then we'll do C. If B happens, then we'll do D. And it has to do this considering all these factors and what it might, you know, affect in various countries in the world. So a person can't do it. So we turn this over to artificial intelligence. You know, the president looks at it, well, if we had a president, would look at it and say, gosh, well, based on the AI choices here, if we want to keep from having World War III, we better do this. And we depend on this artificial intelligence, which has been programmed by not one, but several programmers, each having different values of life. Whether they're Hindu or Muslim or Christian or Jewish, whatever, they have certain value decisions that they put into the what-if decision-making tables. So we turn the fate of our planet over to these artificial intelligences that are really psychotic because they've got so many different viewpoints that there's going to be a time when they're in conflict and it'll flip the coin, you know, roll the dice for us. Anyway, that's artificial intelligence.
This kind of, to me, this brings us into transhumanism and how transhumanism really is intersects with, I'll just say Satanism. Because I don't know how else to describe that, and how that kind of overlaps into the AI component as part of the transhumanist experiment or enterprise, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's just so hard to make decisions. I mean, I've often played the game of if I were president and such happened, what would I do? And it becomes such a complex issue that I don't have an answer. You know, you'd say you'd have to punt even if you had the information you need from, you know, the NOAA or NASA or whatever, the world economy of, you know, federal bank, whatever. It would just be an impossible decision to make because it affects so many other things. Our whole global civilization is intertwined, you know, intertrading, you know, interdependent. And that's why we need these things, but unfortunately, we can't trust them 100%. They're meant to be suggesting things, but not doing things. And the Antichrist is going to be using something like that, I'm sure, to model the planet.
Well, I'm telling you what, man, we are, you've been right all along, correct all along. We are so close. I really believe this. We're so close to this, what, singularity event? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but we're so close to the end of the age. I believe that we could reach out and touch it, you know? I mean, it's, but nonetheless, we have to, yeah, again, if not for us, for our families, those who we leave behind, prepare, dare to prepare. Cosmic Conspiracy. In fact, all of the intellectual products offered by Stan and Holly Dale, and by the way, and I, because of my situation, I missed your Patreon meeting this last weekend. Folks, sign up for Stan Dale's Patreon. Go to standale.com, click on the link to his Patreon page, and make sure you support Stan and his excellent work. And while you're there, EMPShield.com. Do you have one yet? If not, why not? What are you waiting for? EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. There it is right there. EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman. Buy one and get like five others, and you even get more off. I'll tell you what, buy in quantity. Use promo code Hagman. Give one to your your son-in-law. All right, Eric. Okay, back down. Your family. But hey, Father's Day, Mother's Day. What do you think about Mother's Day for that? I don't know. But empshield.com, promo code Hagman. There you go. All right, sir. Go ahead.
You know, things are pretty pretty desperate all across the planet. They're getting worse. And for people that aren't yet saved and not realize the need to be allied with Jesus, the situation is frightening. And I put on in the Cosmic Conspiracy book in 1978, still there on page 127, a page for when a person realizes the need to be saved by Jesus and to be on his team in what is coming. They can sign their name on that page. It's their book, their page, and sign here. And I tell them, once you've signed this and mean it, then you are saved and welcome to the family. That is one of the probably the most important pages in that book. Anyway, slide 43. The bee population. Now, the bees are a very important piece of the biology of the planet, you know, to make food and to make flowers and nice things like that. But right now, the bee population is, for the United States, is about 45% depleted. And we have other species invading, which are not honey producers. Some of them do pollinate plants. I've seen it on our own garden here that they weren't honeybees, but they were landing on various flowers of the vegetables that need to be pollinated, and they were doing it. But our honeybee is disappearing rapidly from, you know, environmental changes, from pesticides, from, the sun even, and the ultraviolet rays coming from the sun in a different frequency, a different range, that are making it difficult for them to see the pollen, believe it or not. Anyway, there's a report there out of Louisiana showing that the apiarists there, the bee raisers, are very concerned about the increasing losses to them. Holly and I, well, and I guess I do it mostly, but when we get flowers and not enough bees, I take one of these vibrating toothbrushes and I go out there and I vibrate the stems of the flowers to cause the pollen to drop down and to do what the bee does, you know, with his feet and with his vibrating wings. And so I pollinate these things artificially, you know, or manually because of the shortage of bees, something that you might remember.
You know, in the run-up to that, Eric the Tech just whispered in my ear, he said, don't forget what Stan does with pollen, meaning what you just described. And then he said, you and I are going to do that this summer, meaning him and I. So I can't wait. I'm going to be taking after Stan Dale because I do like that.
It's ADA approved.
ADA approved.
Oh, wow.
Stan Dale and Holly Dale approved, actually. But
Holly jokes occasionally. When I was out doing pollination of the corn, she says I was out fertilizing the corn and pollinating the corn. It kind of sounded like I was having an affair with the corn stalks. But
no, he's enjoying it way too much.
Did you hear that?
I did. How are you, Holly? You're looking great.
Hey, I'm terrific. How are you guys?
We're doing well, thank you. Under the circumstances. No, seriously, we're doing well. And appreciate you, Holly, for all you do. God bless you. Thank you. And really, really, we do. You're the unsung hero of standale.com. But
thank you so much, Doug, and may the Lord bless you guys.
Thanks. All right, Stan, how'd I do?
You got points. That's good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh Lord, the situation on the volcanoes is becoming interesting, and on dams. I did a study. You can see, which one to look at first? Oh, slide 37 is interesting because it's 380 miles. I misspelled that. Downstream, okay, 380 miles downstream from Three Gorges Dam is Wuhan. So, should the Three Gorges Dam breach, you know, break, whatever, the surge of water will run downhill to, you know, to Wuhan and to other places that are taking feed from the dam. And you don't want floodwaters in Wuhan taking, you know, their laboratories and diseases and whatever, spreading them all out. It's not a good thing. And one of the articles that I read when I was researching Three Gorges, I guess it was last night, is that there are about 80 of the dams in China that are at risk of failing due to poor workmanship and to shoddy contractors and things that are taking money out of the contract instead of putting it into the materials needed for those things. And this is important for a reason, but in slide 40, you see a graph there that if you click on the picture, that was taken about 7 days ago, showing the height of the water at the dam at the moment, Three Gorges Dam. And when you raise up over the normal water level, which we're not there yet, but we're approaching it, because this is approaching the rainy season, is when you start to test the dam and its reliability. And going back over to slide 38, that doesn't tell us much there, does it? Okay, Three Gorges, there are cracks appearing in there. And in the article, 80 cracks have occurred in the dam, Three Gorges Dam alone. Let me just go down here. Now, I can't see the picture here because it's in a video, but there are some of the foundations, the columns running up in the Three Gorges Dam. You can see the cracks in them just visually. And normally, when you have a new dam, you will have slight cracks here and there. But these are more numerous now then, and they're really concerned in China that Three Gorges Dam is going to breach. And so they've been looking downstream at where they can move populations quickly to safety. Because if the dam breaches, well, if you're within probably 20 miles or so of it, it's too late for you anyway, because it's going to probably hit your suburb before you can move out. But those that are downstream by several hundred miles will have time to move to safety. But China is spending a lot of time and resources and getting increasingly worried about it this year. There have been a number of reports in February, March this year from China about their concern with the manufacturing and what would you call it? It's where they've intentionally stolen money from various projects, these contractors, and have put in substandard materials. Now, I say this is important for a reason. How much time I got left?
We have 8 minutes.
Okay. It's important for a reason, because although it will be a large damage to China and, cause a lot of heartache and power shortages and stuff all across China, hence it will affect trading and manufacturing over there as well. It is a sign there's going to be a major dam collapse due to shoddy workmanship, and it's something to do with the log stacking or whatever. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but I found that in an email I got from a Maori prophecy woman in New Zealand. She contacted a friend of ours down there, and the friend emailed us the stuff. I'm just trying to see where the link on that is. Okay. Yeah. Let me just get over here to our page. Go to our page, standio.com. And let me just get over here and do that. I want to read you her letter if I can get to it. Standio.com. And Dream Visions. And, on our website there, if you go to the front page of the website, you'll see links there that go to Dream Visions. At the very top of our page, about the third from the right, says Dream Visions. If you click on that, it will take you over to our selection, Dream Visions, and you want to select number 2, Three Gorges Dam, China, and Lake Taupo. According to this Maori woman, as you will read in that, when there's some kind of a scandal over in China, over a large dam collapse and the shoddy workmanship that caused it, and you know the cheapness of it by withholding good wood and things like that, that it will cause a collapse there, and that will be a sign that Lake Taupo in New Zealand is going to erupt. Yeah, you got it here. That's the page. That's the right page. Yeah. And I'm just looking down here. Okay. That this Maori woman, I'd never met her. I haven't yet. But anyway, she, the Maori keep very much in themselves, I say in that article. And where they live, they have no phone, no TV, no radio, no video, etc. To be quite frank with you, Stan, this is the lady writing to me. I got the distinct impression that it was you that I was supposed to pass information on to about what she'd seen and what would happen in New Zealand. It was quite a shock having someone of her stature turning up on my doorstep. That's why she gave me the prediction before she left about the dikes busting in China and killing hundreds of people. And of course, it happened exactly as she said at that time. And then it goes on to say about the sign that will kill thousands is when this log collapse and hence the dam failure happens in China. Now, going back to our show images page, if you click on slide 45, the picture is just a picture of where Holly and I were when we saw the sand, the steam coming up between our toes on the sand as we walked on it because Lake Taupo was warming up. And if you click on the text of that, it's dream visions again of Lake Taupo volcano erupting. And it's long, but there are pictures and links in there to what I saw in the dream vision, outlining like a doorway, which is the whole Taupo lake. And it is kind of subsided in an area, but Lake Taupo is at risk at the moment. There are a lot of earthquakes occurring in that area. In fact, if you look at the earthquake map, USGS earthquake map today, there are a bunch of Richter 5s and 4s between White Island and Lake Ruapehu, Mount Ruapehu, the volcano. And Lake Taupo is right in between all that. There's activity there which could release a lot of the magma in a sudden burst, releasing a super volcano, probably bigger than Yellowstone would be. And looking at slide 41 very quickly, if you click on the picture, you'll see the structure of Lake Taupo and how it's fragmented, and a huge magma pool is pushing its way up. And you'll see in the graph underneath that, if you get to that area, what slide again? That's slide 41. If you get to the graph, you'll see that we're now in the last 40 years, or 50 years even, that the unrest of Lake Taupo has been increasing. Like 5 to 8 years, we're seeing a very rapid increase in the heating and signs of an eruption of Lake Taupo. And that's what they're faced with. And the signal will be the dam failure, big news, for people doing something illegal up there to cause it, and are, I don't know, illegal, immoral, or whatever. But that will be the sign that Taupo is going.
Interesting.
I think that's, wow. Yeah, that's about what I've got to say on that. We did have a 6.8 earlier today out in the Atlantic along the ridge there, which is an unusual place. We don't see activity there very often, but again, it kind of underscores the fact that we're seeing a lot of increased pressure on the crust of the earth. Volcanoes, earthquakes, they all kind of relate to each other. And that's what we're seeing.
Wow. And I'll never forget you telling me initially, too, about the earth and about how the earth is expanding, right?
Yeah.
And you know how that plays. And folks, think about that. And think about as the earth ages, it expands, don't we all? But I digress. But how that can affect things as well. Stan Dale from standale.com. Man, you hit a home run today. I appreciate all the information, especially about the sun. Going to keep our eyes on that. And I'll tell you what, that's I think you said it, and I'm going to wear my bicycle helmet indoors, watching for those near Earth asteroids. So appreciate it. All right, brother. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, folks. That was Stan Dale from StanDale.com. Make sure you go to StanDale.com. Make sure you go to EMPShield.com as well. Click on the link there. Use promo code Hagman for the EMP Shield. If you don't have one already, you need one because bad things are coming. And, you know, it's not going to protect you from a grid down situation, but it's going to protect your equipment, right? So that's what you need. EMPShield.com, promo code Hagman, StanDale.com as well. And I appreciate Stan and Holly for all they do. And again, thank you so much, folks, for your understanding about all the things that are taking place here at the Hagman Studio and the Hagman household. With that, have a good night.